Welcome back to Make It Sound Fiction. This is episode 14, and we are the podcast that every week picks apart pop culture and media that we like. No take backs. I'm your host, Nico, and I'm joined here, as always, with my co-host,
Tyler.
And, man, we have a lot of, we have a lot of stuff this week. Well, maybe not a ton, but we've had a lot of roller coasters of emotion this week, I guess, kind of.
Yes.
Between Animal Crossing coming to Switch in 2019.
Isabelle coming to Smash.
Yeah.
That's a more exciting announcement.
That fake out at the Nintendo Direct was, I felt like my soul left
my body. I don't think that
was
clever. I think that was just mean.
It was mean. It was absolutely mean.
So I saw some people say like, ooh, that was really good.
No, it's not.
I don't know about that.
No, it's not. It's, no.
You could have done it the other way around.
Yeah. Basically, I feel like it was just really interesting watching social media just flip out over that. But also on top of Animal Crossing, also still being like in the fourth week of like trying to get my Lucid Nightmare mount from World of Warcraft and feeling my soul slowly decaying and eroding. Don't play video games, kids. They're
not good. They're not really not that good.
They're really not good, and they will make you more
they're
mentally ill.
So.
They're not art. Yeah, no, don't. Let's not even. I know people are probably wanting us to discuss that Baffler article, but you know what? I'm not, because I don't dignify trash.
It's just really bad. It's not even really worth reading,
it's
I would
not.
Say.
It's like, really not.
If you want to be like, ooh, I want to see how bad it's not even worth it. It's really not, I would say. Like, it's just not good.
It's
just a really stupid
article.
That article
is the written version of the guy that takes too much cheese from the charcuterie board at a party and attempts to like lecture you into a corner about which movies he feels is like real cinema versus all of the like box office garbage that
it's
people
like,
are really into.
But it's also like misinformed.
It is.
It feels like, and it puts a lot of weight on like Poor Inside, which is, I mean, I never played that game, mm-hmm. but it's just, it's just not, it's like a, for somebody who calls himself a critic, I'm surprised. I mean, I assume they call themselves a critic. That article is like bad criticism.
He has written 4 books.
Really?
He has written 4 books. I read his like little, like, I forgot what they're called, like author bio at the bottom, like the, you know,
right,
little
whatever,
bio at the
bio
end of
thing,
the article.
Yeah.
I know there's a fancy term for it, but I forgot. But yeah. He sounds like he's really terrible to talk to at parties. Like I'm just gonna straight up
well,
say
the,
it.
The big thing, I mean, the only thing I'll say about it is it, you realize it's trash when he dismisses stuff that he even like thinks of art, like the genres that he more commonly thinks of art. Like he dismisses books and movies in the same article where he dismisses games.
You have to, as a critic, you have to know what you don't know about. And so somebody who seems predominantly concerned with a very niche section of like cinema and books and stuff like that, attempting to like talk to other people about video games as if video games haven't been a part of mass media pop culture for 40 years now is so ignorant.
It feels out of touch because it's like you clearly people like them for reasons and you're just not even willing to think like consider those reasons at all.
But
I don't know, I like how we said we were not going to talk about this and then we did, but
because we always end up doing that. That's the problem. And we should turn to probably more serious and pertinent topics like World of Warcraft.
Totally. Yeah, like tentacle people, Ashara.
I know. We were kind of discussing, and we'll probably discuss this a little bit, is that we were talking about where exactly, because this is a podcast that does discuss fiction and narratives.
Is it?
Yeah, it is, apparently.
Oh, okay.
We will, like, we were discussing this week about where exactly we think that World of Warcraft storytelling is going to go.
It's only, and that this conversation is only kind of interesting, I feel like, because when they do an expansion like Legion, the last expansion, mm-hmm. where they're fighting threats that are pretty much, like, you know, endgame-y in terms of the fiction,
mm-hmm.
that when this expansion's already dabbling in the higher up version of that, which is like old gods and like void and stuff.
Yeah.
where do you go after that? Because it's an MMO, you know, like it's not gonna die tomorrow. Like, yeah. After this, this isn't the last expansion, so it makes you think of like how will they continue if they're already dealing with like, because you know it's World of Warcraft, so the big thing is like fighting bigger threats.
Yeah.
And we're on the biggest threats.
Yeah.
So just it's a kind of complicated thing and interesting to consider.
It's interesting because I like to think of it as like, I like to think of it in terms of like television writing, because there's, I know a lot of people talk about how television tends to, good stories tend to cap out around 3 seasons. And the reason for that is because a lot of, and maybe this is kind of where a lot of prestige TV gets very homogenous, but typically your first season is setting up the initial conflict or mystery. By the end of the first season, if you don't get canceled unceremoniously, you resolve the major conflict, but you set up what the consequences are for season two.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it kind of just the 3-act structure?
Basically. Yeah. The first season is the first like Star Wars movie.
You and stuff, right?
It's the first Star Wars movie. The second season is Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And the third one is Return of the Jedi.
Because I think that's how a lot of people, do you think that's changed? Okay, this is a big question, but do you think that is affected a bit by the fact that like Netflix shows are just released all at once? Do you think that they don't suffer from that as much? Because the writing is a little bit more open?
And they're not, they're not subject to like scheduling and stuff. Probably.
Yeah.
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 Which is why Netflix shows have gotten really in trouble with like 10 or 12 episodes being too long with like that 3-episode sag in the middle. But to kind of transition, I had a point.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say is that a lot of prestige television shows, particularly those helmed by the great Shonda Rhimes, tend to have something that I like to think of as the Shonda Rhimes ceiling, in that most shows have a stakes ceiling or a drama ceiling. That's the level of which a show's sort of attenuated emotional devastation or you know, sort of emotional stakes, how high they will go before you stop believing that the show's real, basically. The like suspension of disbelief can only go up so high. Shonda
Rhimes, you can't
have
monsters in a show not about monsters,
exactly.
So it's limited. Yeah.
Shonda Rhimes has proven again and again that she does not care about that, and at a certain point I've had to stop watching all of her shows because she raises the stakes ceiling so impossibly high that I can't actually believe it anymore. I can't actually watch it anymore.
Yeah, it's like just ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, I've never seen her shows, but I just mean like I can imagine that it would just be to the point where you're just taken out of it and like, okay, this is just stupid.
Yeah. In a show about somebody who manages to fix the corruption in the U.S. government, and that's Scandal, they reached a point in like the fourth season or the seventh season, I don't even know what season they're on now, where I couldn't watch it anymore, which sucked because I thought it was a good show. But once what's her face, Olivia Pope, got like fake kidnapped and like held in a TV studio, but she thought that she
was 24, have this issue.
Yeah,
too,
exactly. Yeah. No, WoW has hit its stake ceiling, and I know that sounds so funny because I know that most people are like, WoW has a story.
yeah.
But it has. It's run out of train tracks in terms of what they have sort of initially set down 14 years ago as being the big bads of the universe.
Like, you always heard the name, like, Sargeras or Sargeras. I never know how to say his name, Sargeras. And everybody always heard about his name, and it's like, oh, and like, and even on, like, the wiki, if you, like, looked him up, it was just, like, you only saw art of him. You never saw an in-game version of him, right?
Yeah.
And you always only ever got to see, like, his lackeys or whatever, his, like, commanders. And he's already been essentially killed. I mean, he'll probably break free or something, but, like, we've killed him.
We've killed one of the most, canonically, one of the most powerful characters in the universe. Yeah. Now, the other person is Ashara, and I have a feeling she is slated for the chopping block during this expansion.
There's no way you don't kill her this expansion.
There's no way. I mean,
there's just no way.
She's in the story as...
I mean, and if you don't kill her, it'll be like you fight her and she leaves, but still, like, that still runs into the same issue where it's like you're... I don't know. It's your fighting powers that are so great, and there's nothing... And they've like, described them as the greatest... So it's hard to
the universe find a reason to is do anything bounded after. In certain places.
Because they really the big thing was is like they had never been very clear about like the kind of cosmic powers at work in the universe, the WoW universe, and they released that Chronicle book, like the first volume, and that explained like actually like okay, there's void, there's light, and stuff like this. So actually like it put into perspective like okay, here are the actual big bads of the universe, and like with names. And so, but now we're in a situation with the last expansion where we're already just dealing with the like old god stuff. Like the first boss of the first raid, sorry, the last boss of the first raid of this expansion is an old god. And that, but we've only fought like what, two old gods before? Three?
No, so there's C'thun. There's C'thun,
and then what's his name? What's his, I always forget his
what's
name.
What's his name
why.
From Olduar?
Olduar guy. Why many... can I never remember his name?
Yogg-Saron. And no, and we've also
there's another one, right?
Ysarge?
That guy, yeah.
He was part of one of the fights, because I think he was either a part of one of the fights in Pandaria.
Right, he was, I think. Because he was like the heart of Ysarge or whatever you get, right?
Yeah, because he was the one that was corrupting what's-his-face.
Like, Garrosh?
Garrosh, yes. So we fought technically three.
Right. And, but that used to be a big thing. Like, oh my, we're killing old gods. Like, what is up with them? What are they doing? They speak in different languages. This is so wild.
Old gods were here before the Titans ordered the universe. Yeah. So they are ostensibly, canonically, the oldest things on the thing. And we've killed.
Yeah.
There's only a finite number of them, but I have a feeling that WoW's going to open up that box even farther.
I think
farther.
There's going to be a ton of old gods and stuff suddenly. Like, that's because, like, you can't have one be in the first raid. Because, okay, I guess if you want to know the structure of WoW, usually they have, like, a big, important boss at in the last raid.
Yeah, that's
the first raid, and it's an old god.
Well, that's a capper until they realize that they still have 6 months left of content. Yes. And put
still,
together a shitty after raid after that. That's
you
like,
don't usually start an expansion where you're killing the guy that is like you know, yeah, or like,
you,
yeah.
You had to wait a year and a half to get to the Arthas, like the Lich King.
Yeah.
So
it's just really, it makes us think that they're going to just be like, there's a ton of old gods actually, and they, like all the ones you killed before are back now or something. You know what I mean?
Something like that. Like something's. Yeah. Somebody's going to come back, and the thing that I think is going to happen is Ishara and some significant plot characters are going to die this expansion. I think Sylvanas is going to die. I think Ishara is going to be the end boss. And then I think the immediate expansion after this is going to be Lich King version 2 and his daughter, because Talia is in... in the expansion
like
now, and that's his daughter, Bolvar's daughter. But then after that, we have a couple of places we haven't been canonically, which is the world of world of the old gods, and the world where the ethereals come from. So there's two places we haven't been to yet.
But still, like, you go to the world of the old gods. What do you do then after that? Because, like. Okay, the way the development works, too, is, like, they're working on that expansion now.
Yeah.
The next one.
Well, I also kind of wonder how this is going to work for Diablo, too, because, like, Diablo also kind of...
Yeah, Diablo is sort of at the end, too, huh?
You killed Diablo, and I know that Diablo magically comes back
freaking
game, but...
But didn't they make, like, a lot of effort to be like, no, this is it?
No, because they kind of left a door open with saying that... Something happened with you.
I never
you.
Paid attention to Diablo lore.
The end
okay.
of the Diablo story, as far as we know, it was at the end of like the expansion with Malthiel. Basically implied that something had changed with you. So I'm wondering if we somehow become Diablo or something in the story whatever.
No.
I know that would make 0% sense. But like,
yeah, I mean, I guess what we're saying is like. Blizzard's not the greatest at this because
yes.
they their games aren't supposed to end, and they have stories, and stories need to end because that's how stories work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they don't need to end, but like, you got to have like something to be satisfying consistently. Otherwise, it's going to feel like nothing you're doing matters. Nothing you're paying attention
to. Here's the thing is, WoW could always come up with something new for fucking once. Like, that's the thing is, World of Warcraft.
Well, yeah, that's why I thought it was really weird how they actually laid out the stuff in Chronicle and then are just doing that. It's like, wait a minute, you didn't set yourself up for that long in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Chronicle wasn't that long ago. It wasn't like Chronicle came out 10 years ago. It came out like 2 years ago or whatever.
And they've added more volumes of it. There's the
yeah.
volumes.
The other volumes
now.
Are recent history stuff that we vaguely know already. But yeah, like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's weird that they did that. And I really do think that they're just going to build on to something that we once thought was like really rare, which was the old god stuff. Like, I just think they're going to just super dwell on that, which is, I mean, obviously if you're really into the lore, that's cool to learn more about them, but it really kind of hurts. It doesn't feel ridiculous, like you said, what's her name again? The Shonda Rhimes?
Shonda Rhimes.
Yeah, like it's not ridiculous to me to like fight a bunch of old god. I mean, I guess it is ridiculous, but it's just like, what can you ever feel threatened by again? It's already hard to feel threatened because it's an MMO. So you're like a champion that's killed every major named character, the evil character in the story, right?
And
so it's hard to feel like you're a challenge.
They've also pulled out the stops of like your magical MacGuffin is underpowered now. Like that was the end of Legion was your magical weapon got taken away. To kill Sir Jairus. But now you have a magical necklace. Don't get me started on that. But like,
So I don't know. I think it's just, I'm really interested, but I think it's going to be really hard to sell me on being interested in what we're fighting if it's just a bunch of old gods, or like a bunch of like just gods, you know what I mean?
Plus, I also really don't like the idea of going to the old god world or whatever. Because it's like, that's going to look terrible. What kind
of
planet?
It's going to be a lot of
purple. Yeah, it's going to be purple. What kind of planet do you think the old gods live on? They're all like these giant.
But they're
going to
do a thing where it's like old gods have a society. And there's, look at the old god plant life and the animals. Like,
there is no plant life or animals. The old gods are like bowls of oatmeal with like multiple mouths or eyes
or
tentacles.
What about those like people that had to live under the enslavement of the old gods and you're trying to help them live in this horrible world?
I'm just saying is that we would fight. Like the old god world is probably going to look like an overcooked.
There's
going to
be a new race on
soup.
It. 1,000%. There's going to be like a race of new people.
We're going to find out that the old gods were twisted by being chained under the surface of Azeroth, and that actually the old gods used to look like big titty elves or something like that. Like, I'm 100%. Like, Yogg-Saron used to have one mouth and was like a very pretty woman at some point. I don't fucking know. Like,
can Yogg-Saron be hot?
If he takes me out to dinner, maybe. Oh, gosh. Well, to talk about.
I don't know. World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft. To talk about insanity.
Oh, yeah.
What have you been up to, Tyler? Because I'm worried about you.
I'm watching a lot of people do raids in video games.
Why?
Grouped up together, killing monsters. because, like we were saying, World of Warcraft's first raid came out, but the Mythic version, which is the hardest version, came out. And so a lot of guilds, sort of like top guilds, raid it, like try to get world first kills on different bosses in it. How many bosses? Like six or something?
Six, yeah.
Yeah. So. I wasn't watching, so the big one method is doing live streams, like they're hitting it big and everything with their live streams, but I was watching a smaller guild, but still one of the big ones. It's literally called Big Dumb Guild. I was watching them fight this one, it was like the Fetid Devourer or whatever is the name of the boss, and it it was just interesting because I've never really actually seen, I've watched like kill videos, but I've never seen like progress on a new boss. And it was just interesting to watch like a team of like 20 people or whatever.
That's a new thing. I should mention. It's a new thing for raid teams to stream.
To stream it, yeah. Usually it's just like a kill video after it's already done.
Or because
they don't want to release strategies to other teams racing for world first.
Which was a big thing in the past because your position in killing bosses at one point was really what would kind of underpin things like sponsorships and stuff, which I find really bonkers given that esports is a thing now. Like the idea of sponsoring people to eventually kill a fake computer AI boss versus like competing against each other. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, high-end raiders are skilled, but it's a numbers game.
I think it's cool.
I think it's cool. Yeah. But yeah, I cannot imagine being sponsored to do it.
It'd be like if you were getting sponsored to do, like, Retribution in Overwatch, like, on the hardest difficulty.
Exactly.
Nobody does that.
No, so it's like...
I mean, Blizzard had a thing, but still.
But still, but now that it's quite lucrative to stream things, of course streaming...
Yeah,
world first attempts at something is a bigger deal. So it's interesting.
It's
to
a bigger
watch
deal,
that.
But I think it's mostly for method because Big Dumb Guild was just like casually doing it. Like they didn't have any sponsors. It was just like this guy's stream that's in the guild.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like I wonder if that'll get bigger over time. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
But and same thing with Destiny. Destiny didn't have a lot of like sponsor stuff, but it was just that fight was interesting specifically because that is the fight that every guild like originally like they started racing on when it came out obviously, and then everyone had different times on when they killed like the first couple bosses. I think this was like the fifth boss and I think every guild got stuck on it, or maybe it was the fourth boss, but anyway they all got stuck on it because it was really hard. And it was actually like I think in the AMA yesterday from one of the developers, he said it was actually just mathematically impossible to beat in the first 10 hours before they nerfed it.
Wild to me because
it's wild. It's happened before, right? So
it has happened before.
Yeah.
With one of the there was the a
old gods.
Yeah, the what?
One of the old gods, C'Thun, right?
Yeah, C'Thun.
Yeah.
Back in the day, back in vanilla World of Warcraft, this was in 2005, Encourage came out, which was, I think probably the third raid that came out in vanilla World of Warcraft. This is 40 player raid, and C'Thun was the last boss in the raid. And at the time that he was dropped into the game, he was mathematically impossible to kill because we're talking about this. It's a numbers thing. If a boss in an MMO has X, Y, and Z values because they're always going to have the same amount of health. They're always going to do the same amount of damage for this ability, that ability, this ability, this sort of thing. And
but the players are the variables.
The players are the variables. It's how much gear they have. It's how much damage they're doing.
How well they're playing.
How well they're playing. And all of those things still have a ceiling to them because there's only ever so much... Like, the potential DPS maxes out at a certain point given X... Y and Z playing perfectly, best in slot gear, things like
RNG
that.
Being nice to you.
RNG being nice to you. Yeah, that's the thing that has been sort of like iterated over the years is RNG elements to fights, because that's one of the ways that you can kind of up the difficulty of a fight is because you can tweak values up and down, but RNG will make an encounter slightly different every time. C'Thun was mathematically impossible until they like tuned him down a tiny bit,
which they do often. I think they tune stuff, not the mathematically impossible part, but they always tune down a little bit because it's hard to test. I understand it's hard to test these bosses because I'm sure like a lot of people even working on them might not be able to do it. So like, and they say they bring in people like top end raiders to test it, but you know, like there's only so much testing you can do, especially when the mythic version these days is just a numbers tweak mostly, right? Like they don't add new stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so I imagine that making a raid boss for World of Warcraft is a little bit like Mario Maker levels, where you can design a really punishingly hard level.
Right, that is like theoretically possible, but...
But unlike Mario Maker, World of Warcraft will let you release a boss to live servers and you don't have to have necessarily beaten it as the developer. So things like this happen.
Yeah,
but
and it was really... Like, I watched hours of this team trying to do it, and it was just like... It's one of those things where... You could tell it was really hard, not because of like, oh, they're having a hard time killing it. It was just because like there's so many things that could just interrupt you from like casting your spells to deal damage, right? Because, you know, you have to stand still for a lot of spells and stuff where it's like you have to move out of something. You have to like get knocked back out of your cast or something. Like there's so much stuff in this fight, the specific fight, that just made it so hard to be able to deal enough damage in time. Because that's the thing is like, these fights are on timers, so like, you can't just spend forever, because eventually the boss will either like enrage or just gain full health again or whatever. And so like this one was like just killing adds, like other enemies, before the boss eats them and gets his health back. And it was so close, like, and it was so close to the point where they were even talking about how other guilds were using specific classes just to like not have to deal with some of the mechanics, like just to live through them, just to get the DPS out. And I thought this was really interesting in comparison, because also the first Destiny 2 Forsaken raid came out yesterday, and I was watching a guild or a clan, whatever they're called in that game, do it. And it was really interesting in comparison, because Destiny doesn't have very strong, like, it doesn't have like tank healers and support. It just has like damage dealers, essentially. Like everyone just has a gun and has damage abilities.
Say warlocks, hunters, and
But there's the differences are just how they're dealing damage. It's just warlocks, hunters, and whatever the warrior version. I forget what they're called. Sentinel.
Vanguards.
Vanguard. I think Sentinel maybe is a one of those things we just one of those nouns we just said is like the one of the subclasses. I think.
Yeah.
Whatever, Vanguard? They're a tanky thing. I think it's Vanguard. I don't know. Anyway.
I know Vanguard's from Mass Effect.
Yeah, well, I know, but I think they use the same thing. But anyway, it's because there's no like sustainability through like healing. Everybody has like essentially like a Halo health bar, right? So they have a regenerating health bar, but they get like two or three shotted by enemies, especially if you're not at the right gear level, which this team wasn't. So it's just it's. Because a lot of the WoW raiding, that fight, it's the only fight I really watched, is like, okay, deal with these mechanics, okay, just DPS the boss, okay, deal with the mechanics, DPS the boss. And a lot of Destiny is like, okay, there's six of us instead of 20, like in WoW, and we have to run around this room, look at these symbols, match these symbols with things or whatever, carry an orb somewhere, kill adds in between so we don't die while we're doing these like movement mechanics, and then... you know, kill a boss at the end, or like find like these specific moments where you damage a boss and the health bar goes down. But a lot of Destiny raids is just movement stuff. Like it's killing adds in between, like the shooting is secondary. It's really just like moving around. It has nothing to do with healing people. There's like during the DPS phases, people will put down like a thing on the ground that like increases your damage. But compared to WoW, Destiny just is so much more kinetic. And I thought that was like, it makes it to where, because one thing we've been talking about when we did the LFR stream, Apple is like we, or Nico, it's weird to call you Apple, but anyway, we did the LFR stream and you were saying like, here's another boss where this mechanic feels the same as the last one. Because that's a big thing in WoW is their mechanics get like duplicated over all these raids, and they're maybe harder or like slightly different, but they're not that different. And I actually thought that like the Destiny raids from the other raids I've seen, it looked like they were pretty original. I mean, there was like broad ideas where you like, you know, people have to run around a room, you know, yes, maybe you have to do that in another raid, but the mechanics seem pretty different because there's a lot of stuff in Destiny where, because of the way the game is, it's not like a third person MMO. You can have stuff where it's like, oh, you pick up this thing and now your ultimate ability, essentially your super, is a special ability, and your grenade's special now. You're a different character for a second. Like you could be somebody else.
Which is funny because some of those things you mentioned are also similar to WoW, like
vehicle
fights
vehicle
fights or things like that. Like to explain to people, vehicle fights were raid fights in World of Warcraft where you would physically have your player character enter into either a mob or an actual literal vehicle where your spell
like a big,
bar,
like,
your ability bar,
machine, like,
your
yeah,
ability bar would
stuff.
Change to like specialized buttons or abilities for just that thing, and it would sort of augment the fight.
I think that's cool briefly in WoW, but if they did that too much, which they don't do it a lot in the Destiny raid, but if they did too much, it would sort of erase your character, you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't feel like, am I even a warlock anymore?
Yeah, but the reason I think that World of Warcraft duplicates a lot of abilities at this juncture is because every single expansion, and I think there have been, so World of Warcraft, Burning Crusade, Wrath, Cataclysm, Pandaria, Warlords, Legion, and now Battle for Azeroth. That is 8 expansions. Every expansion has had, let's say, on average, 3 to 4 raids with another 5 dungeons. At some point, they're going to run out of ideas.
And I think Destiny, because Destiny has a lot of strikes, essentially dungeons and quite a few raids, I think, by this point.
But they're not as old as World of Warcraft.
I think even they have probably had duplicates too.
Oh, absolutely, because there's only so many verbs and only so many ways you can change an encounter design before, because you're so limited and by things, and Destiny having to go the route of like, how are we going to put a roadblock in between you shooting at something?
Yeah.
And World of Warcraft is, how are we going to put a roadblock in between you
just shooting
dying
at a mob
versus the mob casting. Dying?
Yeah, like, exactly. Because like you can, because also the other thing, I mean, you can get rezzed in World of Warcraft, but in Destiny, you have one. Everybody has one token to rez another player, so there's 6 tokens. You know, 6 players. So you can get rezzed, but like it, and it, they've definitely, I mean, like I saw them do fights where somebody was dead, but it's just like, that is, it's also when somebody dies, it starts a timer. And if you don't rez them after like 2 minutes, you just, everybody dies. But I guess it's interesting because like, WoW, like you said, is like trying to not die before the like enrage timer. But a lot of the fights in this new Destiny raid, at least, the enrage timer is usually like, you have a debuff, it's going to kill you in 2 minutes, you got to keep doing this fight in 2 minutes or whatever. Or it does stuff where it's like, this enemy will just kill everyone unless you interrupt them with this special ability. Or this enemy will just kill everybody unless you hide into this room for like 2 seconds. Everybody has to rush into these rooms, doors close, boss does the ability, you get out, and otherwise you would have died.
But that's also, I mean, like, that's the thing is, I think that there's a lot more similarities between Destiny and World of Warcraft raiding than I think you realize, because all of those things that you just mentioned are also things that have happened in World of Warcraft raiding.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I know. But I think I think the movement stuff is the part that's different.
That's different. Yeah, because it has to be, because World of Warcraft is third person and Destiny's first person. And there's so many more things that you have to play around in third person view in a World of Warcraft raid that you physically can't in a first person raid, because it's sort of like, you know, like, because if you made things happen like behind you in a first person raid, that would feel so unfair. Versus like, if you watch a World of Warcraft raid, people always have their cameras zoomed way up
an ant on their screen. Yeah.
Yeah. There's literally always stuff happening behind you, on top of you, to the sides, in front of you.
But it's beneath you. I guess the part that is like, that it, the difference is weird, is because like Destiny, the raids are so, there's so much about like nailing really tiny things too. Like, I know there's definitely raids in WoW where it's like, you got to kill his left leg or something, right?
Yeah.
But, like, how common is it? Because it seems like in every fight, unless it's new raid, a lot of the stuff is like, okay, somebody has to call out the exact thing I need to shoot, because if I don't shoot that exact thing, we're going to die. And so it's like really specific about the way it's a shooter. Like, it remembers it's a shooter in that way. And I know like WoW can't really do that. You can't cast spells at a specific arm unless it's like designed that way. Where in Destiny,
it has to have like a target, like
right,
a
hitbox. It has to be like a specific targetable thing, which they've done. They have done that. I don't know if they've ever done it like 4 times in the same raid, is the part that.
No, it was always a gimmick. Like, it was always like, World of Warcraft definitely has gimmick fights, and gimmick fights are ones
That's actually a good way to put it, because I feel like Destiny fights are way more gimmick.
But it's not a gimmick. it's not a gimmick in the universe of Destiny because seems like it's the only way to like really make those things happen within the mechanics of Destiny. Whereas in World of Warcraft, gimmick fights are fights that are so different from the typical
they're mostly just about mobility or killing a thing in the right order.
Right. To explain, gimmick fights tend to be ones where you're doing something differently than just taking down the health of a boss by shooting at it. One of the biggest gimmick fights was this lava elemental in Firelands, and you didn't kill him by shooting at him, by casting spells or whatever. What you did is you shot at one of his legs, and the one leg that got the most DPS,
they
get
the achievement for this the other day,
would turn his leg, but it was backwards, because think of it like this, because he's walking, so think of it as like third party co-op kind of where like if the amount of DPS on both legs was even, he would just walk straight ahead.
Yeah, if he had to like control him.
You had to control his walking, and he would turn in these slow looping circles if you were just over DPSing one leg. Because think of it, if you hit his left leg too much, he'd turn right.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So the idea was that you wanted to DPS him in a way that would walk him to a like lava pool or like a little lava volcano, because he would step on the volcano and he would take more damage. So then you could do like a DPS cycle. Yeah. You could do like a big DPS.
And that's just like very common in WoW raids, but in Destiny it seems a lot of stuff is like shoot the specific guy, shoot the wrong one, you're dead. Stand on this thing that has this right symbol. If you don't stand on it, then we're all dead. Like it's just over.
That feels normal, because it's like, what are the two things you can do in a first-person shooter? You can move and you can shoot.
Yeah, because people don't want to just sit there and shoot at a boss. That's got to be like a sort of a culmination of... Because there are points like that, but it's always like the conclusion to doing the harder parts. The harder parts are always just like movement and pointing your cursor on something specific and pulling the trigger, you know what I mean? Like,
I
think that's really interesting how they do it. There's ads, right? There's a lot of ads. The ads are very rarely... There are sometimes where there's ads where it's like, if you don't kill this thing, it'll like blow up and kill everybody, or it'll kill the boss or something. But a lot of them are really just like, here's a bunch of enemies that are spawning in this room where you need to run across and touch this thing, pick up an orb, but you're going to die if you just run to the orb. You got to kill people first.
Kind of
thing. So,
but I want to say this. I do think that Destiny takes a lot from MMO encounter design.
Yeah,
it's that it's a first-person shooter,
it has to like tweak it to fit for it. And but it's, I think it's like, it's like visually, I don't know. It looks really interesting the way it's so dynamic, like vertically and stuff, like in directions that obviously WoW can't have as much.
Yeah.
But it also just looks really stressful because it's just so specific, and it's only six people. So it's like,
That's another thing I wanted to touch on, because something that people don't realize, the interesting thing for me is that there's a lot of people who play Destiny because it's a shooter who haven't really ever played MMOs before.
Yeah, yes.
And definitely. So they're encountering things that are very MMO specific.
Yeah.
And that is, in a raid like World of Warcraft or, you know, Final Fantasy, or, you know, well, Final Fantasy is a little bit different. Final Fantasy 14 is a little bit different because they do have very small raid sizes. But for World of Warcraft, it used to be 40 people, and now the max is 25 people in a raid. But the thing is that means, barring some fights where the DPS check is so unforgiving that you literally have to have every single person alive, you can lose a couple people.
Yeah, you can kind of deal with it. I mean, if you look at a lot of the kill videos from even the Mythic stuff this week, it's like, oh, everyone's like, there was only five people alive and they killed it.
Barring some mechanic, I have seen raid kills on bosses with one person alive. Yeah. Like,
and you can kind of do that in Destiny, but it's, I mean, there's a timer when somebody dies.
The ratio of perfection, the margin for error goes up so dramatically high with lower numbers of people, whereas like 25, you can lose a couple healers, you can lose a tank, you can lose a couple DPS. Six people, if you lose one person, that's a huge problem.
And that's the part about the class. There's not really classes in I mean, there is classes in Destiny, but there's not classes in the sense of like, this character is going to be healing you, so if they die, that's bad. This character's tanking the mobs, so if they die, they're going, like, it's going to be bad.
I think it would be interesting to think of, I think in a lot of ways, a way to explain that is kind of like World of Warcraft has classes the way that Overwatch has heroes, where everybody's got really specific class abilities that, and while World of Warcraft has done a lot to kind of homogenize some of those things that have been super beneficial for raiding, such as battle rezzing, which is rezzing in the middle of combat. You know, things like that, or things that are for DPS cycles, like a couple of classes have gotten abilities that are basically, I mean, you can hear them called by a couple different names, but there's Time Warp, there's Heroism, and
just like
Bloodlust.
It's
just a buff that makes you do abilities X number, X percent faster.
Which is really good for the entire raid.
Which is good for the entire raid. So, but in World of Warcraft, classes have so many specific abilities, or they have utilities that they can, utility that they can bring to the table, that sometimes the key to like beating an encounter is very specifically on, like, sometimes you can kind of cheese that margin of error by bringing classes that have like, defensive,
like I was saying earlier,
cooldowns.
With the rogues or something, like being able to just like not deal with the mechanics or something, you know?
Yeah, because they can fade out of it, or they take less damage, and not every class has it. Classes that have movement abilities are also really heavily
prized.
That,
just, that
you know,
straight up just doesn't really exist in Destiny.
It can't, because you know, like...
Which I think that kind of sucks in a way. Like, I still actually kind of wish that Destiny had more defined classes, because, like, yes, there are three classes and there's subclasses, but... I don't know, it's kind of like they jump differently and they have different special attacks, but other than that, they all have guns and they just shoot and jump.
Well, that's kind of the difference between... I mean, that's kind of the homogeneity of a shooter. You shoot things.
Is it, though? Because, like, I mean, yes, I agree, but I, like... I mean, look at Overwatch, though.
But Overwatch added support classes.
I know.
Destiny doesn't
I'm saying,
have
like,
that,
what if what if Overwatch was an MMO, like, kind of thing? I'm not saying
I mean, I want that.
But
see, that's the thing is, Overwatch would be perfect as an MMO, whereas, and the reason that Overwatch is so different is because it does borrow that from MMOs, whereas Destiny didn't.
Right,
Destiny
and that's
never
why
added
I kind of wish, that's what I've always wished Destiny had more of, you know? Like, I like Destiny, but I just wish it had a little bit more.
I would love Destiny if Destiny had support classes. I would play
it
a lot more.
It has, like,
a
healing thing, but it's really just, like, the healing thing in it is not, like, get healed up, it's don't die. It's like, you stand in this thing and you won't die, you can take shots. It's not like, you're getting low, let me pop a healing thing. It's, let's not die here, let me pop a healing thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's more resistance than saving you. Like it's proactive, not reactive.
The support, I feel like support in Overwatch as well as MMOs in general and MOBAs, it gives you a middle ground between dying and alive that I feel like Destiny has. You either dead or you're alive.
Exactly, yeah.
Whereas support is like, well, how much longer are you going to be alive? Right. What can you do on this amount of healing that I'm giving you? How much damage are you not taking
see,
now
that's
versus...
The thing. Like in the WoW raid I was watching, there was definitely times where it's like, crap, I stood in the stuff, I'm dead. But in Destiny, it's like, oh, that guy just got... the enemy just like shot me enough times and I didn't dodge out of it, so I'm just dead. Like there was more random deaths in the Destiny one that couldn't be really fixed, because it was like, well, I just got unlucky. Like, they just shot me. Like, I can't, like,
yeah.
We didn't kill him fast enough. Where, I mean, I guess it's similar in like, maybe a broader view, but compared to WoW, a lot of WoW deaths are like, I should have just not stood in that, or like, oh, that was bad RNG, where it's like, the thing spawned below me and I died, you know what I mean?
And sometimes you can make up for that
with abilities. Ice blocking or something and being invulnerable or whatever, or healing.
Or the healers have the capacity to kind of like undo those mistakes.
Yeah, because there was actually a thing in that WoW fight where it was like, don't give the debuffs to the tanks, but you know, if we do, we can our healers can deal with it. It's just not good.
Yeah, overall. Exactly. Which is why I find support so compelling, is because support really does have the ability in whatever game they're in, whether it's MOBAs or MMOs or shooters or things like that, they have the ability to really negate, deny, reverse. It's such a more interesting property to me.
They really lengthen what would otherwise just be shooting each other, like in Call of Duty. Yeah.
Yeah. I find support so compelling from a mechanical sense.
It just, yeah, exactly. Like, it opens up the design to have more like complications and stuff that's more like satisfying.
Exactly. Which is funny I think at this point in World of Warcraft's lifespan, it's forced the designers to get so complicated that I actually don't find raid design very cool or interesting anymore, which is interesting because you're the one that's like been watching a lot of raid encounters and watching people beat their heads on raid encounters, and everything you have described to me is like me saying,
when I'm describing it to you, I'm not like, heck yeah, I want to do this. It's like, I don't know about this. Like, I don't know if I want to do that Destiny raid.
It sounds to me like things have gotten so, because I stopped raiding seriously in Mists of Pandaria. I stopped raiding seriously in Mists of Pandaria because it got to a point where I was starting to get old enough mentally and physically where encounter design had so much to remember and required so much like focus and presence of mind in order to remember mechanics and
which DPS is kind of funny because Overwatch is like that all the time, though.
It's a smaller pool of things.
Is
to... it? Well, let me explain to you like this. A typical raid could have 6 to 12 encounters.
Yeah.
And you had to remember how to play your class, which is fine because that's like muscle memory at this point.
Yeah.
But you had to remember every single encounter, what that meant for your class specifically, what that meant for your role specifically, whether it was tank, DPS, or support, what your job was in that encounter. And if you're doing a smaller raid size, that could mean a lot more things. Like, I was a raid leader at one point, I was heal lead at one point, I was, you know, DPSing at one point. And you have to, like, cram all of that stuff into your brain, so you have to remember what every encounter is doing. And then if you're learning a fight, that means breaking the fight down into pieces so that you're kind of can progress through it. And then on top of that, it's processing stimuli from mods, people on voice comms.
Oh yeah, that's an interesting point about mods.
Sound, text, things like that. And it got to a certain point where raid encounter design got so complicated in World of Warcraft that I physically and mentally couldn't do it anymore. I literally couldn't remember how to do stuff on normal difficulties or even harder difficulties. And so I just said,
they're pretty complicated.
They are complicated. They really are.
They just are. Like,
so you telling me about this like raid team bashing their head into the wall over a mathematically impossible boss. I was just like, that is not a life I ever want. And it sounds like World of Warcraft encounter design has not gotten
elegant or anything. It's still just really full of stuff.
It's repetitive stuff that have just gotten complicated to an order that I don't really want to encounter anymore.
The only nice thing is that they have LFR, which is just an easier version of it, which, you know, in a way, I could see why maybe that's their excuse for having such like hard mechanics. Is like, well, you could just do LFR, but it does suck that you can't really do normal.
Yeah, it's. On the other hand, who has time?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing for me is like, I don't know if like this whole Destiny thing I was watching too. I was just like, I don't know if I have time for doing that. Like, this is so intense and so specific and so long.
Yeah, like when Giant Bomb did a Destiny raid in like 8 hours. Yeah. I was just like,
I watched that
boy.
Too. That was the one I watched.
Oh gosh, like, because I wanted to tell them. I said, "Hey, folks, guys, come on! You don't do 8 hours in one clip unless you're like a top progression raid team. You break it up over several nights, my dudes." And then I realized that is a foreign concept to anybody but
people
old,
don't
old
break
MMO
things. Yeah.
People.
Yeah, that was the thing too, is the WoW Raid Guild took regular breaks and like told people on like voice chat, like get up out of your chair and like do something, eat something, where like also
because like, it's a job.
Yeah. Yeah. And they would do things where it's like, this is our ending time. We're not going over it. It's over for tonight. Sorry, we didn't get the boss. It's over, though. We're done.
You just come back. Yeah, you come back another day.
Or leaving the raid.
Yeah, so people that are new to Destiny, I have a feeling have, like,
Destiny, these guys streamed for 24 hours and 2 minutes straight. They took, like, a 5-minute break or something to, like, go to the bathroom, but they never took, like, a hard break.
Yeah, versus, like, well, let's just try again tomorrow.
Yeah,
let's
and the I think it's like the Waypoint community or whatever stream is doing it, and they took a break. Like, they just started up this morning again, but after like stopping last night. I mean, yeah, they're not world first, but like,
yeah, it's just it, and I understand chasing world first, it's a big deal, but it's also like, I think Destiny has brought in a bunch of people who have never had experience with raid mechanics,
the health of just playing a game that long, because these all raids just take a long time. Like, when I think of raids, it's just time.
It's MMOs have trained us so well into like, well, I'm just gonna be doing raiding 3 nights a week for 4 hours a night, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't play MMOs anymore.
Yeah,
is like,
that's the reason why
I don't have the time for that anymore.
I didn't want to spend that time. I maybe had the time, but I didn't want to.
You know, like coming home from like a job or school and like scarfing down food. And
that's
then,
what
like,
I did all during high school.
Yeah. Immediately jumping into a raid with like all the people.
Older people than me too is weird.
Yeah. Expecting to like having people expecting you to be there because it's a commitment. And so I think people hopping into Destiny 2 just maybe don't have that experience and are like, well, no, we're just going to make it a marathon gaming session where we try to get a boss down for 24 hours.
Yeah, 24 like, hours. And they didn't even beat it because you had to beat it within the first day to get a emblem in the game.
Yeah.
If you were the first, you got a belt. But if you were the first in the day, you got this emblem and they were 2 minutes past it and they didn't get it. I mean, they might get it later or something, but they didn't get it. And then they also got to like buy a jacket, but that's really interesting too, that I don't know if we have time, but like I know you wanted to say something about like this incentive to be the first, which is something that WoW pretty much has gotten, well, have they really gotten rid of it? They still do the world first like achievement, right?
No,
I thought they do.
Not for world first anymore. They just do it if you get the boss before it gets nerfed.
Oh, okay.
That's the ahead of the curve achievements.
Okay.
For World of Warcraft. They used to do world first. They used to have like world first feat of strength. Maybe they still do.
I swear I saw somebody in Limit say like we got the achievement for like it was
they might
have
just for the world first then. They might
No, you're right. The achievement was just you did it on Mythic. That was the achievement.
Oh, okay. So you're right. Yeah. You're right. So yeah, okay. So they used to have world first and it would go out over like your server,
It would like tell everybody,
server first, you know, server first and world first. World first would be regional, server first would be server wide, and they got rid of those, I think, because people would do weird things. Like anytime a new server would open, they would like race to go kill that boss just to get that, you know, feat of strength, or people would transfer servers to do it, things like that. And it's because it's unhealthy and makes people act in really unhealthy ways. And so seeing Destiny,
they're doing physical stuff too.
Doing physical
like if
stuff.
You, I don't know if I said it, but like you get a jacket if you do it with before the reset, which is on Monday. So still, you can still do it like on like over the weekend. I mean, this podcast will be up on Monday, but if you did it over the weekend, you can get a jacket for like $150 that's only available during the like the last weekend. So like that's even something. I mean, you have to spend money, but still, like if you did it early, if you just because that like doing it over the weekend, yes, there's 3 days, you know, because it started on Friday, that's still a ton of time you'd have to put in because nobody was just finishing these fights because it doesn't explain anything. Like even WoW has like a journal in the game, a dungeon journal that tells you vaguely what the mechanics are. This one, unless I mean, now that people have done it, they people might like write up guides, but nobody knows how to do the raids, like the fights.
That's the thing that bothers me the most about Destiny is Destiny 1, okay, I can understand they brought out that game and they included a lot of, like, MMOs
something
worst
pretty new
habits with a shooter.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. Maybe they're still learning. Mm-hmm. They're still learning
about...
They were clearly taking stuff. They were meddling in things they, you know, shouldn't have. But by Destiny 2, I thought they would have learned that importing the worst behavior or encouraging the worst behavior from MMOs in a shooter is really bad. And we have decades of MMOs now to sort of prove that. And I don't understand why you would want to include that.
Like, even like EverQuest stuff has had people like doing things for 24 hours or whatever.
I remember Final Fantasy XI having a boss that took 24 hours.
I think
to
I heard
beat,
about that. Yeah. Yeah. So it's
one
like,
boss.
Right. Yeah. So it's, yeah,
one.
And I get that that's like a whole triumph thing, but I think that you could just design, you can still design something to be satisfying without taking a bunch of time because, you know, like, I don't know, like you got, it's like, it's this weird thing where it's like, it's almost like they forget that people are playing their game.
They do.
Yeah. Which is gross. Yeah.
It is gross or it's good for business.
Yeah, because it like reminds me of like microtransactions and loot boxes and stuff, because it's like, oh no, like you've went too far. You know, like,
I actually find some of the behaviors that MMOs encourage to be worse than loot boxes in some ways.
I would
because
say
it's
so too, probably. Yeah,
it's a physical and a mental thing. Like,
there's just stuff you cannot, like, okay, if you knew this raid inside and out and did it, it would still take a while, though. Like, and there's stuff like that that's worse than this, where it's like you could know it by heart and it would still take 10 hours or 8 hours, 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
So what we're saying is video games are bad.
Yeah, like we said at the beginning of the show, games suck. They're not art.
It sucks because I feel like encounter design is something really fascinating, and we obviously do find it fascinating because we have spent most of an hour talking about
this. Yeah, this was supposed to be the second topic, but yes.
Yeah, we're not even getting to the third one. But I think that encounter design is really interesting. But given the stuff that I've seen you talk about with regards to World of Warcraft and Destiny 2, especially in the same fucking week.
Yeah, that's why, like, that has been my thing. The reason I've been telling you about this, I know you don't super care about Destiny, but I just wanted to know what you thought about, like, yeah, like the time investment, and since you've been doing raids and like, or have done raids, you know, I just wanted to like know what you thought about like this, especially in direct comparison to the Mythic raids.
It bothers me.
Yeah,
it bothers me that World of Warcraft is still doing this. And it bothers me that Destiny is porting it wholesale.
Right, and that's the thing I think about is, like, of course WoW has a lot of people playing it, but Destiny is sort of, like, the new thing. I mean, it's not new, you know what I mean, though? It's, like,
it's made by people who have obviously seen what World
right,
of Warcraft has done
to
the world.
Like, iterate on those ideas, and yet they're just going back?
Yeah, but it's Activision Blizzard, so I'm not surprised. Activision is not Blizzard. I should be very clear.
Yeah,
they are only
that's just
owned.
Like the stockholder name for
it's a stockholder thing. They are two very different companies, but it's very clear to me with how they have
done
BattleNet
like,
integration.
They consult on each other's games, 100%.
They do.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that their Call of Duty team, with regards to networking infrastructure, consulted on Overwatch's.
I don't know networking. For sure, but I would say that the new bow in Destiny totally like looked at, like, somebody looked at Hanzo in Overwatch and was like, let's do that.
So how are you a designer, a group of designers or encounter designers, and I know there at least one encounter designer I think listens to this podcast, but like, how are you an encounter designer for a massively multiplayer online game in 2018? And that these are, I want to know where these decisions are coming from.
Yeah, we don't really
know
a lot about. Like,
we don't know if it's
design.
Designers.
You know, yeah, we don't know if it's designers. Yeah, we don't know if it's like, well, you need to make this raid substantial, so it's got to be this. You know,
who made the decision to say, "Hey, guys, if you're the first person in the world to spend like 24 hours straight of your life trying to kill this like raid encounter in the Dreaming City in Destiny 2?"
Yeah.
You get a fucking emblem and a fucking like wrestling bell. Who decided that? Because that's irresponsible.
It's irresponsible, and it, like, because I could just imagine some person was just like, ooh, yeah, like, what if they get an emblem if they do it in the first weekend or the first day? Like, that sounds really cool, and then that's all the thought, and then it's in the game.
That's horrible.
Right? And I'm sure stuff like that has happened. I don't know if it would happen with this emblem, but...
I don't think that is the belt specifically for just the first day, or just the first guild that gets it?
The first team. That's only the first team. The jacket's for anybody over the weekend, and the emblem is the first day.
So, see, the time limit on it? That's bad. Yeah. That's really bad, because
they did
that
it 2 minutes after, and they just didn't get it, because it's an automated system, so just didn't give them the emblem.
That's bad. Yeah. That's really... I'm sorry. That's horrible. That's really... That's worse than World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that's 24 hours where people would be racing for an emblem. Like, because obviously people are racing for the belt, but then people are like, okay, we didn't get the belt. Let's get the emblem.
World of Warcraft has never... I mean, like, in terms of, like, achievements, it's always just, like, the first person.
Yeah.
It's... With rating, I should say that there have been other time-limited things, but they're on a little bit longer time scale. But it's usually just the first person to do something.
Right, and it's over. Then you're like, well, we can't get the...
Well, yeah, and it's never been like a time-limited thing.
Yeah.
That being said, they used to have world first, like first to level cap as a certain class.
Yeah.
And that encouraged people to also do like 24 hours, 48 hours straight.
Anybody too. Like, that was a little bit more like, you don't have to have gear for this because it's just leveling. You know, like,
it's just leveling. You and I could
do it, you know?
Anybody could do it. And it was always like somebody who would get five other people to, like, you know, run them through dungeons or something like that. But it always encouraged the worst, most unhealthy behavior. And seeing Destiny 2 basically repeat this wholesale with not a lick of understanding or a lick of, like, knowledge, or maybe they do, and that's even worse. But seeing what has come before Destiny 2 and replicating it wholesale, like, that's so bad.
Yeah.
That's so bad. I'm sorry. It's horrible.
So. I think they should, like, I really think that the World of Warcraft thing of, like, you did it before they super nerfed it or something, like, that's
fine.
Okay.
That's a couple months. Yeah. That gives people a couple months, and they get to, like, feel proud of themselves, and that's good.
Because, like, people track who gets stuff first anyway. Like, Limit got the first thing on that boss I was talking about earlier in World of Warcraft, and everybody knows that. Well, I mean, like, if you wanted to look it up, you would know it, right? Even if they don't have an achievement, people know that Limit did it.
But rewarding people to put their health in jeopardy because of this... And their sanity in jeopardy because of this. Because, let me tell you, trying to do something on a timer for multiple hours on end will stress you out. It'll make you hate people.
Irritated at each other. They're yelling at each other.
You will hate people. Yeah. You will hate your raid team. You will hate yourself.
Yeah.
You hate everything. I used to come away from, like, a night of progression raiding and failing at it. Just a night. A single night that was 3 or 4 hours long. And I just hated everything. I was so angry all the time.
Can't kill the stupid thing you've been working on all week or whatever. And people keep dying, and, like, you died.
God,
I hate everything.
If our warlock wouldn't just stop fucking dying,
we had it at 3%, but
we had it at 3%. We had to stop at 3%, and we already did 5 extra attempts, and I can't believe we didn't fucking get it. And God damn it, if that guy hadn't fucking taken the trinket, and my raid leader isn't fucking asshole because all the rogues get to do it and it's for melee even though we're all ranged.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Fuck everybody. And it makes you into a really terrible person.
Yeah.
And Destiny doing that is, like, bad.
Yeah. But... I it's really bad. I don't know. It's so weird because I just think of it. I know we're, like, running out of time, but I just think of it
super,
like,
running out of time.
I think of Destiny just like this new game where, like, honestly, it feels like younger people are playing it and they just don't realize, like, and, like, when I look at that WoW raid where their people were, like, adults and they were just like, we have to, we're stopping and we're eating. We're getting up from our chairs. We're done tonight. And the Destiny raid's just like, let's just keep going. Smash that Red Bull. Like, oh gosh.
Which, I think it's also because they're bringing in a new group of people who have not always been seduced by the allure of MMOs, so they don't maybe quite know what they're getting into. because shooter people, I think in some ways, are used to games being 10 minutes long, mm-hmm. and you just get up, sit down.
Like the 24-hour streams of like Overwatch, where it's like they're not going for a goal, they're just playing a, you know, a bunch of games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So World of Warcraft and Destiny basically borrowing the most seductive elements of MMOs, and I mean, Destiny is an MMO. Destiny 2 is an MMO. Yes. Destiny has always been an MMO. And sort of porting it in as just a shooter is disingenuous, and it's unhealthy.
Yeah.
And now I'm mad. So.
Great.
And I think that's probably where we should end
Yeah. Wow, a Destiny podcast, and we both don't even play it.
I do a little bit.
I mean, I did a little bit too, but...
I'm like level 12 or something.
I don't know what level I am, but
yeah. So
I look at this and I just don't know if I want to.
I just don't
play it, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Tyler, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Tyler Kolb, TylerColp. I'm also on YouTube, which is my YouTube, which is YouTube.com/Tyler_Kolb. I'm on Twitch, OtterXPop. I'm also, I write for Blizzard Watch. We both stream on the Blizzard Watch Twitch page, which is just Blizzard Watch at Twitch. Is that it? That's it.
Yeah, and you can find me on Twitter. I'm Apple Cider Witch. On Twitch is Apple Cider Witch. I also stream to Blizzard Watch on Twitch. Also, if you like the show, you can follow the show on Twitter, which is MISFcast. And you can send us, you know, tweets or comments and everything. Also, if you really like the show, you can rate and review us on iTunes. We will read your reviews on the show. If you want to send us any questions or comments, send them to us on Twitter. You can email us at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com, all one word. Also, word of mouth really helps us. Tell your friends, you know, that you really like the show.
You can write
comment
in,
about
like,
it.
Your rating experiences too. That'd be kind of interesting if
yeah,
you did any, even
you
in Destiny or whatever or other games. Yeah,
Destiny, Final Fantasy, yeah. EverQuest, Ultima Online. Yeah, we're actually kind of curious. So send us your rating experiences. Also, if you listen to the show and notice that we have intro and outro music, you are
have ears
I'm sure
and...
you're. You have ears and are very observant, but also we'd like to thank our wonderful friend of the show, Maddie Myers, for providing us intro and outro music this week and every other week going forward. You can find her at MiddyMyers.net as well as MiddyMyers, MiddyMyers at Twitter.com. So thank you so much, Maddie. And I think that's it for the show. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.